started talking about words this morning, and I want to share some more words because I just wanted to show you why and share a little bit why it is so hard and how we can pick and choose what we believe in the Word of God. It's all the Word of God, but we want to pick and choose and figure it out. But it's got to be God breathed into our hearts. It's got to be God delivered to us. It has to be life to us. If it's not life to you, it's not working. It's just not working in your life. Let me run through a few here. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 10. One of the most important passages of scripture the Lord ever really brought revelation to me about. Romans chapter 10. Preaching words of this life, not the worldly life you're used to living. I'm talking words of God's life, the way God wants us to live out our lives in this natural realm. We happen to be on planet Earth and we're stuck here until we leave. But there's a day coming we won't be here any longer. But you know, the wonderful thing is we can live it out now, the Word of God. Because the plan from the beginning was for us to dominate. And I don't mean out of selfish, greedy, all for me stuff. I'm talking the way God works. The way God, this earth would have been fabulous if God had had his way with it through man. Man was made to be the caretaker of the earth. It wouldn't have been looking like it does today. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is a perfect illustration of two ways of life, two ways of thinking. Two ways of living are so totally right here. And he's talking to believers. I want you to know that Romans chapter 10 was not written to sinners. It was written to Christians. Christians. This was a message from Paul to believers. I mean, it works for anybody, but it's especially to the believer. You own this. This is your heritage. This is your inheritance. Paul started out in verse 1 in chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. I mean, they love God. They are a group that love God. They're God's chosen people. But they have a zeal for God, but that zeal is not according to knowledge. Talking about. They are most, let me tell you about the Jewish people, and you may know this, might not share anything here new, but the Jewish people are a people of history, record keeping, times, genealogies. They have more knowledge and more books. They're some of the most intelligent people on the planet. They've added more to society and the human race than, I mean, I'm telling you, the richest people, most of them, very, very influential people. They have lots of knowledge, very educated. The Jewish nation has a lot of knowledge. I'm talking about Israel as a people. They keep, just look, I marvel sometimes when I look at the Old Testament, and I look at all the genealogies and how this has been preserved for thousands and thousands of years. They know their history. I don't know my family's history. Y'all know your family's history? Could you go back and read about it? Well, they can. They can go back to their tribes. I mean, it's just amazing how much knowledge they have recorded. And you know, the funny thing is they're right now digging up artifacts that confirm it. That's confirming it, that it's true. They believe they found David's temple here recently. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So it wasn't their knowledge that saved them. What they've got is not a saving knowledge, okay? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And see, we can do the same thing. This is a warning for all of us that we can go about, even as a church, as a people of God, because these are God's people he's talking about, we can go about establish our own sense of self-worth, our own sense of right standing with God based on wrong knowledge, based on the wrong way of thinking. They bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So we know it's not the knowledge they had, and they had a lot of knowledge. because he's getting ready to show you the right kind of knowledge. They went about establishing their righteousness based on their knowledge, their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Does it just kind of sit back and look at that and think, what in the world? So thought. See, words are speaking to us. Words are creating a picture. Words are containers. So these words are speaking words here. It said, okay, there's two kinds of righteousness then. I got to be aware of this too as a person. My, you know, sometimes we like to pat ourselves on the back and feel pretty righteous about something. Do you know most of us have been guilty of this? Everybody in here has been guilty of it because we all do it. You do a good deed. You do something nice for somebody. You sacrificed. You gave away something you really wanted. And you just sacrificed so bad. And you cried about it afterwards. Why did I do that? Well, I was being good. And that's a form of righteousness to you. And it made you feel a little bit more righteous. You got a little notch on your belt there. Do you all know what I'm talking about? Righteousness can be self-imposed. You can feel better about yourself because you did something good. And see, this is not about being good. This is about what do you believe. He's getting ready to tell you what this righteousness is made up of. It's not a soulish kind of righteousness here. Because they had it. The Jews had it. They had it down in law and everything and this and that and everything. But he's talking here about God's kind of righteousness. And he says, they've not submitted themselves unto God's righteousness, the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the end of the law of righteousness. Now, he didn't say he abolished the law. He just said, if you want to know what righteousness is, look at Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. In Corinthians 5:22 or 5:21, he says that he became sin, that you could be made the righteousness of God in him. See, your life is hid in Christ. That's where our righteousness is. It's in Christ. I ain't got a good thing in me. There's no good thing dwelling in me. Not one good thing. But there is one good thing in Christ. It's in me, and that's him, the hope of glory. He is in me. He lives in me. He lives in you. So my righteousness isn't based on my good works or how good or how bad. It's not based on good and bad. It's based on Jesus. How much Jesus do you have? How much word do you have? Jesus is his word. You cannot separate Jesus from his word. He was the word made flesh. In the beginning was the word was God, and the word was with God. Jesus and his word are one. Jesus said, the words I speak, they're spirit and they're life. So how much word of life do you have living in you and working in you? It's how much Jesus you have living in you. And that's the righteousness he's talking about here. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You know the greatest law God ever spoke to us? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Because all the law and all the prophets hinge on this one law. You ever just get that law down? Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another. Be good to people. I mean, go overboard for people. They want your coat? Give them two coats. They want something from you? Give it to them. Understand what I'm talking about. It's a new way of living. It's the law of life. It's a law of life. It's the law of Jesus. It's Jesus living in you now. It's the living God inside you and me. And how does he express himself? Through his words. Words are powerful. For Moses, okay, now we're going to go back to the righteousness that is of the law. The righteousness of the Jews. The knowledge they had. The zeal they had for God. He said, well, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live in them. Well, that's, we just kind of understand that, don't we? Don't we look at the Ten Commandments and kind of marvel? What an awesome milestone that is. What an awesome way of life. If I could just keep every one of those and never mess one of them up. But the problem with that is this, and that's what a lot of people do. They say, well, I'm good because I didn't do any of those. Pretty good about myself. Righteousness is kind of an exalted thing. Well, that is not what he's talking about. He's giving you an example of two kinds of righteousness. We can look at the Ten Commandments and you could just live every one of those out. then why would Jesus have to come? If you could do all that, why would there be sacrifice like there was? Why did he die the way he did? If we could live out the law, if we could just be righteous based on all the do's and all the don'ts, why in the world did Jesus have to come? Because it was not that kind of righteousness that gets you into heaven. That's not the kind of righteousness that gets us into the kingdom. It's living in the kingdom that he's talking about. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven lives in me. And it's a spiritual kingdom, and it's a place I live every day. And it's living in me every day. Anytime I break one of the kingdom laws, I know it. There's living kingdom, living laws in me. His word is in me. His law is in me. He's written his law. The laws of the kingdom are in me. And the minute I mess one up or I fail to do it, I know it. But the good news is, I got a Savior. And I got a high priest. And I say, Lord, forgive me. And you know what? I don't quibble about it. It's done. It's a done because I'm a citizen of that kingdom. And my king is watching over me. He watches over me watchfully. He watches over me tenderly. His eyes are upon me. His ears are open to my prayers. I never have to worry anymore. He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. By his stripes, I was healed. I can walk in healing every day. You can walk in divine health. Because it's provided in the atonement. The plan of redemption was a whole plan for the whole man. But you have to believe that in your heart. You have to know that as a truth, as a word of God. Verse 6 really nails it. Verse 6, Paul just nails it right here. He said, this is it. This is the righteousness, which is by faith. Remember Habakkuk, Romans 1:17, Galatians Hebrews, all about faith. The just shall live by faith. We think we can pass up that. We think we can just live any old way we want to. No, you're going to live by faith in what? In your own doctrines, in your own ideas, in your own preconceived notions, traditions of man? No, you're going to live by God's word is what you live by faith. You're going to live by faith in his word. Because that's the that word is what's all powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than intuition. It's the word that you believe what God has said is what you live by. What I live by. Anything outside of that is religion. And man's already had his belly full of that. I'm done with that. I want the word living in me, the life of Christ, the resurrection Christ living in me. Resurrection word living in me. I'm talking alive in me. Powerful. How much power does God have? That's how much power his word has. You cannot separate God from his word. What's limiting God is our faith. And this is what he says. The righteousness which is of faith, it talks. It's speaking. It's talking. It has to do with forming words. You were made in God's likeness and God's image, and you have the ability to speak words just like God spoke words. God's still speaking words. God's still talking to his people. But he'll never talk but his word. He's not fickle. He doesn't change his mind from one day to the next like we do. He's a sovereign God. God is sovereign. He does not change. If he said something to Peter 2,000 years ago, he'd come and say the same thing to you. He's not rewriting his word every day. I love what Jesus told the disciples after he was raised from the dead and the new birth was established of the human race. And then the Great Commission came. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, because he was exalted after that. I mean, he was given a name above every name. He was so highly exalted that he endured the cross, despising the shame, because he saw the glory that was coming. And God so highly exalted him above all that exists. Jesus is above it all. Amen. And he's the one that's living in you. And he's the living word of God, communicating to fallen man. He is the King of glory. And there's still some future things going to happen. When this Gentile dispensation's over, he's going to come back and be King of the earth. This King of kings and Lord of lords. He's going to rule the nations. There'll still be human beings here. You and I are going to rule with him because we're walking in the revelation of who he is, living in you. working in your words that you speak out of your spirit man that have power also, because it's his words that you're speaking. Get this by just your head knowledge. You got to get this out of your spirit. God's got to drop this into your spirit man. So here's what the righteousness of faith is all about. And it talks. It's talking to you now. And he goes on, he says, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. We know that isn't going to happen. That's already happened. That's never going to happen again until he comes back as the triumphant king and reveals himself to Israel as their Messiah. But okay, oh, then he says, okay, but what does it say? What does the righteousness really is to say? So he said, don't say, he already said not to say, don't say, okay, come down here, Jesus, and add some more to what you've done. Come on, Jesus, come back down here. That's to bring him back down from heaven. Or, you know, raise him up from the dead again. That's never going to happen. Don't say that. He did not even say, do not say that. Say not in thine heart. But this is what you do say. I'm getting ready to tell you what you really should say, what you got to say. You got to say, word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Because you got a mouth that forms words. Your mouth makes noises. I'm speaking words today. Words of this life are being spoken. And he says, and in thine heart. I'm not talking out of my head here today. I'm talking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, out of my spirit man. Revelation knowledge. That is the word of faith, which we preach. The words. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth. Oh boy, I get excited. Let me just dance right here. If you will confess with your mouth, with words, and there's more, and shalt believe in thine heart that God, this is to the believer, this is to the believer, that is the word of faith, that shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, did I not say he's talking to Christians? This was written to the Roman church, to believers. He's talking to you. What do you need to be saved from? You're already saved from hell. You've already been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What do you need to be saved from? I'll tell you what you need to be saved from. You need to be saved from your old stinky thinking and your own way of knowledge and figuring it out. You need to be saved from maybe financial problems. Maybe you need to be saved from sickness and disease. Maybe you need to be saved from a lot of things. Whatever you need to be saved from, salvation is soundness and wholeness and whatever it is you need. You got to get, there's days I just got to have help, God. Help. What do I need to be saved from? And he tells you how to get saved. What do you need salvation for? What do you need to be delivered from? I had a family trying to take my kids away from me. I had two families. I had three or four families after me when I was younger. I need to be saved from that mess. I need delivered. See, we just want to pick and choose what the word means. And God is talking to us here today. He's saying, what do you need to be saved from? Here's how you get saved. Here's how you get delivered. You believe. Let me show it again. I can't see it. It's so clear to me. But I think it's hard to understand because I think we've been so religious, brainwashed. Oh, this is just about getting saved. Then after, what happens after that? What happens to you after you get saved? This was my beef. This was my beef after I got born again. I say, Lord, okay, I'm born again now. What do you want me to do? Just suffer the rest of my life and deal with problems? Don't you give me any help here? I'm reading too many scriptures that says, let me tell you, there's so many words that God has spoken to me. Words that I have received from God that just did not make sense. What's the thing you ask in my name, he'll give it you? Well, that was a big one. What things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. That was another big one. Well, that sounds so good. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? And the believer has just washed it away. The devil has effectively gotten into our churches and has effectively washed that all away. And well, it really doesn't mean that. Well, it means all these other things, but not that. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive grace, help, and mercy in the time of need. Oh, but it really doesn't mean all the time, just when God chooses to. I mean, there is just so much we have washed away because we do not take God's word for what he says. But see, it's by faith. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What do you need to be saved from? You're going to have to speak the word to it. Amen. Jesus told us that what's the things you desire when you pray, believe, you receive it, and you shall have it. But before he said that, in Mark 11:24, he says, whosoever shall say? Words. But you're going to have to speak God's word. You just can't walk around saying, I want this or I speak to this. You've got to have a basis for what you're saying. You better have the word in here. That's why I said to the Lord, when I first came to the Lord, I said, it's just not fair. How do you expect me? I'm born again. I mean, there's a devil that's jumping on me all through the night, lopping in my bedroom door. I couldn't lock my doors at night. I was like under major attack. For one thing, my family was steeped in witchcraft. And I mean, there was demons after me. It was like 5 years later when I moved, or maybe 7 or 8 years later when I moved down here, I was in a church service and this preacher came up to me and said, there's been a demon on your trail and we're going to get rid of him tonight. He's got your scent. He's like a bloodhound. He's been after you. You've left where you came from, but he's still following you around. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I can tell you for sure. See, revelation knowledge brings you life and peace. Life and peace. Life and peace. It matters what you believe. It matters what you believe in your heart. It matters what you're speaking out of your heart. It matters your words hold you in bondage. What you believe will keep you in slavery. You have to believe what God has said about you. And I know he said that by his stripes you were healed. I believe that with my heart. And I speak that out of my mouth. Just as equally as I speak that I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. But I overcome the devil. See, I'm not going to have to deal with the devil when I go to heaven. Thank God. He's not in heaven. There's nothing hurt. When the devil is eradicated from planet Earth, there will be nothing that will hurt or destroy anymore. Nothing. And this is what I said to God. I said, God, it's not fair that you get me born again and get me saved and this devil's after me. I don't know what to do about it. I got people after me. I got people hating me. I'm running around doing everything I know to do for you. I pray. I witness. I'm on the street corners every day telling everybody that you're real and that you're alive. And every time I turn around, I'm just like, Sister Job. They called me Sister Job that first year of my life. Everything in hell hit me. I mean, literally hell come after me. Because I didn't know anything, but I knew Jesus was saved. I mean, I knew I was saved. I knew Jesus was raised from the dead. I knew that I'd been born again. I knew that I knew salvation. I didn't know anything past that. That's where we stop. We don't know how to walk in resurrection life. And he's telling us here how to walk in the resurrection life. And it has to do with words. 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 Your words will hold you in bondage. You'll never hear me say I'm sick. Never. Because I ain't sick. Because Jesus dealt with that. You'll never hear me say, tell anybody I ain't saved and I'm not going to heaven. It'd be the equal. It's equal to me. That's equal. To me, it would be no different. I mean, you're going to say you're going to hell? Well, to me, it's equal to saying I'm sick. How can you say, you know, let me show you another verse. But let me finish this before I go there. Are y'all receiving this? Glory. And it isn't in the head. You can mentally ascend all day long, but you got to know in your heart. Let me ask you this question. Has anybody ever prayed? Anybody ever prayed? And just prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried. And you've suffered before God and you just, oh my goodness, your guts are falling out. You've prayed so hard. Believe me, I've been there. And now you just for sure God heard you because you suffered so much in prayer. You're just sure he heard you because you suffered so bad, you know. He heard you before you ever suffered. He heard you before you ever cried. I hardly ever cry like that anymore because I don't try to talk God into doing things for me out of feeling sorry for me. I walk boldly before the throne of grace. I receive grace on one premises. I receive mercy on one premise. I receive help on one premise. Not fulfill what he said to me. Hold his word to him. God is so pleased when someone will believe his word in their heart and bring it back to him and declare it so. Whether it feels like it, whether I think it, whether anybody tells me it's right or wrong. I have a relationship with him. I have a relationship with the word of God. I have a relationship with him. I'm not afraid of very much either. In fact, fear hath torment. He that's made perfect in love hath no fear. There's no fear in torment. If you're fearful about anything, get some word on you. Get some word in you on that situation because it'll save your soul. Receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Your stinky thinking needs to be saved if you've got fear going on in your head. You don't live out of your head. You live out of your heart. I tell you what, it's time to walk in the victory. Time to walk in thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Now I know 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken me but such as common to man, but God is faithful. That's the part I focus on, the positive. I always focus on what God has said. Sure, there's bad everywhere. Sure, there's a bad world. I live in a bad world. I live where the devil lives. He's still here. But one day he won't be here. One day I'll be in heaven where he isn't. But right now I need to know how to deal with him. And he's listening to what you are saying because that's how he knows what you're believing. That's how the devil knows where you are. He locates us. You can locate yourself. You can locate other people with what they say. Because people usually speak out of their heart what they believe. And under pressure is when it really shows up. You get under pressure, get into pain, and oh, whoa, it's me. I fell down these stairs down here. And this leg is bam, 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 about four levels. And I know my leg was broken. I knew it was. And in the moment of time, I had an opportunity to go with the way of the natural man thinking, or I could go with what the word says about it. And I, within a flash of a moment, I knew, have a choice. I have a choice. You have a choice to live out the word. You have a choice to believe God's word or not. I choose to believe it's a higher way of life. And I said, Lord, and I mean, I didn't even say this. I just grabbed my leg and I spoke the word to it out of my spirit. And I said, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. And I said it and I meant it. Wasn't playing church with it. I knew it had to line up with the word. What's bigger than this word if you believe it? What's bigger? If it's not really God talking to me, then I just might as well get out here and do whatever I want to do. But I know God's word is the truth. And he's just waiting on somebody to believe his word. Now I know everybody can't do what I did up there. And I'm thankful I was able to do it. I mean, it helped me understand where it located me. I got some work going on in me. Because I reacted, I'm in pain, I could not breathe, I was in so much pain. I had no breath in me. But I knew it's either ambulance or believe God. And I had a choice. And I said, I'm going to go the high route because it's in me to do that. And I grabbed that ankle and I said, in the name of Jesus. I didn't even really have time to think about it. It was just, I knew to do that. And I grabbed that ankle and I got up on my foot and I said, thank you, Jesus, by your stripes I'm healed. And I'm in pain and I'm making myself walk. It swelled up as big as a football, didn't it, darling? Walked around for a month like that. But I didn't look at it, just by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. And no matter more. And to this day, if pain comes back in that ankle, I look at that ankle and I say, get out of there, pain. And I say it from my belly. See, I say the word out of my belly. I'm putting the word in there. See, we can do that with a lot of other things. But when it comes to our physical bodies, we have overlooked how important that revelation is to us. Paul's talking to Christians here. Let me finish this. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth words, the Lord Jesus. See, every time I speak, you cannot separate Jesus from the word of God. So every time I speak in Jesus, I'm speaking Jesus. I spoke Jesus to that ankle. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. That's Jesus talking. I'm not Jesus. But that's his word talking in me. I said, in the name of Jesus. In the name, a name above every name. Now, if it doesn't work for somebody and somebody dies, Do I figure out how to explain that? No, I don't. I just don't. I don't touch it. I don't judge it. I just go on because I know what I know. That might not be what they know. This is what I know. It works. That if you confess with your, let's go with verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, his word, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved or delivered or healed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you need to be saved from? Salvation for whatever. He's talking to Christians here. They're already saved from their sins. They've already been redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can just hear it. Makes the word a whole new way of life, doesn't it? Does it not? What are you believing in your heart? That's what you're speaking. You speak it out of your mouth. Speaking the words. Speaking the word. Now here's something I think is interesting. In James 3:6. Let's look at James 3:6. Let's read 5 and 6. James 3, 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on hell the course of nature. And it is set on hell of fire, or a fire of hell. Well, that's not my tongue. That's not my tongue. But he's talking about the power that's in that tongue. Anybody who's talking hell is going to set hell on fire in your life and other people's lives. Your tongue is a powerful thing. It can destroy people. It's caused wars. That tongue has caused so many problems. It causes conflicts with people. Grievous words stirreth up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. It's words. If you open up and start studying words, you'll find it so everywhere. It's everywhere. Ecclesiastes 5. This comes to me sometimes, this verse. Be not rash with thy mouth. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Mouth is a very important part of your life. Cause yourself so many troubles, so many problems with your mouth. Most people I deal with, they're their own worst enemy with their mouth. You just get the word in your mouth, it'll change a lot of things. Start speaking the word to your problems. Speak to your situations. Let me say it this way, and this is going to sound a little strange, maybe. But you can call things to line up with the Word of God in your life. It could be the biggest mess. My life was the biggest mess you ever could imagine. I was a big mess. I was the biggest mess ever. He spoke to me as a young baby Christian, and he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." It was my belief in God that made me whole. Spiritually, my spirit was made whole, but my soul was a mess. My thinking was wrong. I hated myself. I was depressed all the time. Your soul will hold you in bondage until you get it renewed by the Word of God. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12 that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. You see, God's will is His Word. Y'all, a lot to chew on today. Lot to chew on. Proverbs 18:21. That's while we're over here in this area. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Now, we all can quote, death and life is in the power of the tongue. But anybody ever really meditate on the last part of that verse? They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It could be either life or it could be death. If you like death and that's in your tongue, you're going to eat death. If you like life and it's in your tongue, you're going to eat life. That's just as easy to understand to me as anything. Tongue, what words are you talking? Now, there's a scripture talks about, just read the word with this revelation about the tongue. Search it out for yourself. You'll see I'm telling you the truth. Words are powerful. And you're going to eat the fruit of what you're speaking. Speaking the word. Make sure I've got all this out of my heart here. Let's look at Mark. I got another place I want to go. A covenant word from God in my heart. And I can speak it out of my mouth. Take my Bible away from me. If they ban a Bible off of the planet, they cannot ban it out of me. Mark 5. Show you verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had with nothing better but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus. What did she hear? She heard words. She heard words. She heard somebody talk about the Son of God. Probably heard somebody say, well, he healed the sick. He blinded eyes where I saw it. I was right there. See, words of this life were spoken to this woman. Talking about the Son of God, the Word. She heard of Jesus. So she heard words. So she came in the press and let me think, go back. Let me see, where am I? Okay, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, you ought to underline that, she said. He said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. These were not thoughts. It didn't say she thought, if I just touch his clothes. She said, and I believe she said it in her heart, she said, if I can just touch him, I shall be whole. And Jesus calls this faith. He goes right on and he speaks to her later and he says, that's faith. Your faith has made you whole. You see, she had to say it. She had to believe it in her heart. She was saved. She was healed. So she says, straightway, not a year later. I mean, this happened quick. Fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I mean, she touched Jesus, but she said in her mouth. Jesus, immediately knowing that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Jesus said. Here's the Jesus talking. See, every time, now that I have this revelation, anything I hear Jesus say, it's just like he's saying it to me now. It's me. He's talking to me. It's my words. His words are my words. So he says, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee? Sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that was done. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she knew. In her, you can know. When you're praying and you're crying out to God and you're in trouble, ever have a note of victory that you got what you prayed for? Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, I've learned over the years that when I go to God, I'm like a bull. I'm just like take a bull by the horns, and I will not let it go until I get what I'm after. The Word of God. If it's based on the Word of God, the devil can't keep it from me. He can try. God's not trying to keep his word from us. He's not trying to keep good things from us. The devil is the one trying to keep good from us. Ever get on your knees and just feel like God is nowhere? It doesn't matter, because the enemy is there. He's the prince and power of the air. And he does set up strongholds to try to hinder our prayers. I don't know if you ever had anybody who's a sinner walk in your home. They're packing something bad with them. And you know they are. And sometimes you got to resist that spirit. You know, going back to what I said a minute ago, where Jesus, you don't find anywhere it says in the Word of God, there are things God about dealing with the devil, asking God to deal with the devil. There is instructions, though, in the Word, how you're supposed to deal with the devil. The one instruction God gave me about in His Word, based on His Word, how to deal with the devil was this. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's literally, you take your stand, and how do you resist him? With the Word of God. That's how Jesus dealt with him. I resist the devil. He will flee from me. He has to. That's not because of I'm anybody special. It's because I'm doing what the Word says. I'm following the instructions. Wow. I shared a lot of word today. Have we shared some word today? So look what this woman says. Look what Jesus said. Now this is Jesus talking with words. Verse 34, and he said unto her, verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made you whole. But she had to say it, didn't she? What she was doing was operating in the law of faith that Paul talked about in Romans, that if you believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. That's a law. You know, God has a law of universe. There's laws that govern everything. Thank God he is a God of laws. But there is a law of faith. Two kinds of righteousness. The righteousness which is of law, it says one thing, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Be careful what you're believing with your mouth. Your mouth. Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for it, God. And I give you I just thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the revelation word. In Jesus' name, amen.